Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw every Tuesday.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dave Wannstedt.
What is that?
Hey, what is that?
Dave, what are we doing here?
We know what that is. That is from me to you guys. I've been and all the Bears fans out there. I love you. I'm a Bear. But let's get real, okay? You know what this song is? This song is Fantasy by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I jumped on the show earlier, and I'm listening.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking how I want to open up. And so I got a hold of Dustin. I said, the only words that I can come up with, play a little Earth, Wind, and Fire, Fantasy. Because that's where we're at, Bears fans.
Yeah, I, Dave, I'm not arguing. I don't know how to say it, but
I said it. I just said it.
Yeah, they said it well. Because I do think that we are half delusional if we believe that, that anything other than the kind of usual will go on. Why do you think there is this feeling? Is it Tom Brady? Is it his success? Why do people think that you can just go buy a quarterback and everything's going to be okay in the world?
Well, I think it's, I mean, I get the truth. I mean, everybody wants to go get a better quarterback, obviously an upgrade from where they were last year. Okay. Whether it be Foles or Mitch, but the reality is that, you know, I think you got to look at the reasons. Number one, money. Okay, money talks. Okay, so how much money are the Bears willing to spend for a Matt Ryan? You know, and I'm not even going to put Deshaun Watson's name out there, but Deshaun Watson, how much are you going to willing to spend on a quarterback? That's the first question. The second question is, when you see these veteran quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, the first thing that he came out of his mouth when he talked about working out a mutual agreement with Detroit was, I want to go somewhere where I'm going to win, win now, win big. You know, I see Matt Ryan going to Indy. I see him going maybe to New Orleans. I see him maybe going to New England. You know, so how much money and where are you going to win? I mean, I think, you know, I'm trying to be very realistic about this thing. Now, the Bears could sign a quarterback that's been around a little bit, and the guy might come in and have a one-year wonder type of year. That happens too. That's a possibility. I think that might be maybe as realistic as signing one of these big names. I really do.
All right, Dave, I love it when you program music for us. The next time, maybe try a little country, if you would.
Okay, I got
okay,
it.
Okay, so if we want to be realistic here, then let's be realistic here. So what makes you think that a general manager who has swung and missed on picking a quarterback the last three times he tried is going to connect on the fourth time? So you know, there's not a lot of confidence in the, if we're being real, in Ryan Pace's ability to pick a workable solution. So I think that's why there's sort of this pie in the sky kind of approach to this this offseason, because you hope that something's going to fall into your lap.
Right. And I don't see that happening. Unfortunately, and here's what the Bears have going against them, and I lived this myself. You know, all the speculation, was there going to be change this year? And from a head coach to a general manager to a president, all that stuff. Well, every agent around the country is reading that, right? And every player, and on and on and on. So now all of a sudden you're in the hunt for a guy, and you know, it's a big commitment. I'll tell you what, and I've been around some quarterbacks when they came into a system new, and they have been doing something for 2, 3, 4 years, and they have a real comfort zone, not just with the players or with the play caller, but the system and the checks and the audibles and all the adjustments. So now if you're going to bring a guy into a situation that everyone, you know, and I hope it doesn't happen. I hope Matt Nagy and Ryan are here for 20 years. I really do. But there's speculation out there, and there's a perception out there. And sometimes perception becomes reality. And if, you know, and I just don't know how excited, unless it's a lot of money, I don't know how excited a player is going to be, you know, because of saying, is this going to be a 1 year and then a following year I'm going to have a new head coach? I mean, it's a very difficult situation to be in. And I've been there myself, so I can speak firsthand.
It's always a joy to talk to Coach Wanstead. He's brought to you by El Pamonte Nissan, El Pamonte Nissan of Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Dave, I want to get back to the quarterback, but I want to start with Sean Desai. Chuck Pagano is gone. We know that Jay Rogers is gone. They're going to be in the market for an an outside linebackers coach. But Sean Desai has been promoted from the safeties coach to the defensive coordinator. And one of the things on his resume is that Vic Fangio invited him to go with him to Denver. And so he is considered to be a guy that Fangio valued. Therefore, he's a guy that should be moving up in the world. I just want to talk to you about the practicality of calling defenses. You've been a defensive coordinator a long time. You understand the difficulty of that role. When a guy goes into it for the first time, you know, I think when what Vic wanted with Sean Desai was a lot of the information that he could understand and give Vic and work with him for. But Vic was the play calling defensive coordinator guy. And this guy was going to complement maybe a hole that he had and other things he did that he liked. It's kind of, you got to look at it that way. Practically, what will it be like with this guy calling defenses for the first time? How difficult is that?
Well, I think, you know, number one, you're going to rely on the guys around you. I think the big advantage was, and I don't have a problem with this move, and I don't know this coach at all. I've never met him. I don't know, you know, his qualifications. So I'm going to assume that the guy's ready. I mean, everybody has to get an opportunity at some point. And I would, you know, you rely on the guys around you. And I tell you what, the positive is that he knows the players. I mean, a lot of times, and I was following this thing pretty close as far as the guys that they were talking to. And there were some good name guys. I worked with George Edwards. I know Singletary. But I tell you what, knowing the players and what they can do, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, knowing what you've done in the past, knowing the division, you know, and what they like to do at Green Bay, what they like to do, obviously, at some of these other teams that you're going to be playing. I think those are all positives. And when you're in a situation where you got to win now, you know, I really think that the stability part of it is the right way to go. So I don't have a problem with that at all. I totally don't.
Dave, does it say anything about the state of the Bears, or maybe the uncertainty surrounding next season, that they decided to stay in-house rather than get somebody who was willing to take on that risk, because you look at their staff and there's been some changes. You know, offensively, they lost a couple guys to the Falcons, and you wonder how they're going to respond and who they're going to be able to attract. And defensively, you know, they're losing assistants as well. And I wonder how much of that is related to kind of the status or maybe the uncertainty surrounding Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace's future.
Yeah, I'm sure that it does. I mean, that's part of the game. Everybody's looking for stability. Everybody's looking to go somewhere maybe where you can get a fresh start. Maybe they felt like they were overlooked here on defense. We don't know any of the internal issues that may have come up during the season in the last couple of years. So those things are all factors. But I don't have a problem with this hire. And I was I was looking real close at all the guys that they were supposedly talking to. And you know, George Edwards and I worked together at Buffalo, but he can run the 4-3, but he's more of a 3-4 guy, and you're getting into all new terminology. And Mike Singletary, you know, I know he's a head coach, but I don't know if he's ever been a coordinator before. I mean, this guy's got more experience than Mike Singletary, in my opinion. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I really do. I mean, the players will probably rally around this guy. I assume that they respect him. And boy, if you have the players playing hard for you and you have a good sound system and you've got a good supporting cast of other defensive coaches, which still have, it can work. It definitely can work.
And you know, I'm just curious as to how well it can work and how long it takes to make it work. You know, I think the guy is a really bright person, and, you know, they're not going to have a problem kind of with him working hard and all the rest of it, but the whole league is that, right? I mean, it's a big ask to get people to sort of buy into something that, you know, there's going to be some little issues as you go ahead here. It's just inevitable. And
No question, but I don't think it'll be any worse than having a head coach turn over the play call into another coach midway in the season. I mean, how out of the box was that? I mean, think about it. You know, stand back and where does that happen around the NFL? It doesn't happen very often, particularly when the guy's an offensive guy. So, and you know, David, you or Molly, one of you guys mentioned the Fangio connection and all that. You know, you're probably going to see more of a Vic Fangio influence now. And I don't know. I've never sat down with Chuck Pagano and got into the nuts and bolts. Okay, Chuck, what are you telling the guys different than what Vic did and vice versa, all that crap. I never got into that. But we're going to see if the Bears got to make a decision on defense now, which way they're going to go, you can bet that it's going to be the Vic Fangio influence. And that's not all bad. I mean, that could be a good thing, just subtle changes that might give them a little bit of edge. At least the players will have confidence that we're getting back to where we were, you know, 2 years ago.
Dave, let's get back to the quarterbacks for a second, specifically Matthew Stafford and the fact that he was able to talk to the Lions, and it sounds like both sides agree that a mutual parting is best for both, serves both their interests. What do you think about a quarterback who I think has been on a lot of bad teams but has been, you know, except for one season, I think 2019, pretty durable when you look at his career? He has been injured this year. He plays hurt. He's got the arm talent, as they say. Where do you think is the best landing spot for him? And could you address this idea that the Lions would be reluctant to trade within the division? Is that a real thing to keep an eye on? Are teams reluctant to do that?
Yeah, they are. They're a little bit reluctant. They true. If things are close with a team outside the division, generally the rule of thumb is that they'll always go that way, just because they don't want the kid going someplace else and becoming a star, and that's all they hear about in the local media. But I'll tell you what, I just, you know, Stafford is an interesting guy because I think he's a talented guy. He's had some injuries and, you know, that a little bit, not bad though, David, like you said. But I'll tell you, the only thing that I keep going back to, if this guy is this good and set all these records, can't you, and maybe it's the coaching changes in Detroit, you know, how many they've had since during his career. But I would like to think if you had that talented of a quarterback, that at some point you could have a signature win or a signature game. And I just don't come They don't come to mind very often. You know what I mean? They really don't with Matthew Stafford. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably being a little bit hard on the guy, but I like him. And if he came to the Bears, I think he would be a big improvement. You know, if he goes to Indy, he could be the guy that takes them to the Super Bowl. If Drew Brees retires, he could step in at New Orleans, and I'll bet he would be a star down there. So I don't question that the guy's going to have a big year wherever he ends up. But I don't know. You know, a little bit of injuries, and I'd have to look real close, and why hasn't it? Maybe it's been change of philosophy and coaching because they do so much up here at Detroit. I don't know. But there's just a little bit of stuff that I would have to do a little bit more homework on.
All right, Dave, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back and ask you, you mentioned Matt Nagy giving up play calling duties in season. Does he take them back now? Do you change quarterbacks so he can get back to doing what he wants to do? We'll ask that if Coach Wannstedt next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Dave Wannstedt hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. It's always a joy to talk to Coach Wannstedt. And Dave, before the break, I teased the idea of asking you about something you said. You said it was extraordinary that Matt Nagy gave up his play calling duties. And I'm just wondering, does that mean that he takes them back? Are you anticipating that he is once again the play caller with the Bears, regardless of quarterback?
No, I do not. I think that formula worked. I think that I believe, you know, they won games. I think the offense started getting some confidence. I think that they should just continue that way. I'm sure the players feel good about it. I'm sure the administration feels good about it. And that was a big step by Matt Nagy to do that. Not many coaches would surrender that. And so I think they just keep going forward, and he's got his hand in it, and he's the head coach. He has the prerogative to kibosh or scratch any play that's called. No, I don't want to throw it here. I want to run it, or vice versa, whatever it might be. So he can still have his blueprint on it and get the job done, and let somebody else make the play to play calling. So I don't see that changing.
Dave, as we talk about the quarterbacks and all the guys changing teams and maybe demanding trades or free agents picking markets, we always hear about, well, you know what, Frank Reich would do wonders with him, and he might want to go play for Kyle Shanahan because of that system. And, boy, imagine Sean Payton if he got his hands on that guy. When you're evaluating the Bears in the context of that conversation, and you have quarterbacks who are making choices based perhaps in part on scheme and coaches and guys that they think they can thrive under, where's Matt Nagy in that conversation? More asset or liability?
Well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he's played quarterback. He's been around it. I mean, I think he's personality. The big thing is being able to communicate. The one thing that has to happen, and you guys know where I stand with Mitch, okay? And the only way that it would work with Mitch and these other coaches that are talking about Mitch possibly signing him, they're all looking at what Mitch does. And we talked, somebody mentioned earlier, Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians, Tom Brady. Well, let me tell you, and I know for a fact what's going on there. Early in the year when they were struggling, they were kind of on different islands as far as how this was going to happen. And Bruce and Tom sat down, and Tom said, I can't physically throw the ball down the field unless I have time to do it. And this is so, you know, how can we meet in the middle? How can we compromise on this where everybody can be effective? Not happy, but effective. And if you've noticed in their 6-7 game winning streak, all of a sudden it's more run. All of a sudden it's more play action pass. Gronk, I don't know if Gronk's caught, I know leading into the playoff game Sunday that he only caught one pass in the last two games. Guess why? He's in there as a blocker. All this is to give Tom protection, and guess what? Now all of a sudden he's throwing the ball down the field. And Green Bay, had one pass over 25 yards, and I think Tampa had four in the game? Well, you know, so my point is that let's just, if it's Mitch, you know, and I don't know if Mitch had, you know, might not have the clout to do this. That's the problem you got. But if you're a Mitch Trubisky, you sit down, the Bears want to sign you back, you say, yeah, I'd love to come back, but this has got to be, you know, where are we at? What are we going to do to give me a chance to be? And I keep going back to that playoff game, guys, damn it. I mean, Mitch didn't run the ball one time against the Saints in that wild card game. And I'm watching the Buffalo game, and I said this before, that there's Josh Allen, and he has 19 carries. I mean, they did what they had to do to win the game, and I just, that bothers me. I mean, because I don't know if, I don't know if they'll ever get on the same page that way. And if they don't, then forget it. Then Mitch is a waste. He's a waste being here because he's not going to be effective. And so that's my feeling on everything there. And I just want to throw the Brady thing out because that's what's happened. And look at the results. Watch the game Sunday and you see what they do on offense now. They have adjusted.
It's amazing to think that Brady coming in changed so much in terms of just the way that you go about winning. That was a 7-win team a year ago, in part because they were turning over the ball like crazy. I think they went from 41 turnovers to 18 for the regular season. They penalties. They were a very penalized team. They cut down on the penalties. There are ways of winning that you have to have in the National Football League, and that seems to be as much as anything what Brady brought to Tampa. Is that an oversimplification?
No, I think you are right on, Molly, and I think that comes from, you know, no one wants to give Bill Belichick any credit for anything now, but that comes from Bill Belichick. You know, I mean, his teams never beat themselves. Very seldom did they ever, and to this day, right, a New England team, did they beat themselves with penalties or turnovers. So that's where that was ingrained with Tom. And he knows for him to have success. And the difference is Tom's, you know, he's not afraid to say it. I mean, I talk to people at Tampa all the time. I got relationships up there. And Tom is not afraid to walk up to a receiver who runs the wrong route in practice and says, let me tell you something, one more time like that and you are not going to get the football. I mean, it's, you know, I got to count on you being where you're supposed to be or I'm not going to throw you the ball. And that's the end of it. So, you know, a lot has to do because Tom has the reputation and he has the Super Bowl trophies, but a lot has to do with his mentality and his experience, and that's tough to find. You can sign a lot of veteran quarterbacks, and they don't know what it means to win. They could have a lot of talent. All the names we're throwing out, I mean, they're not in that league as far as the intangible things that Brady brings. He's so different, so different. How do you play 19 years? How do you play 19 years and go to 10 Super Bowls? Think of the Michael Jordan. Think of the Michael Jordans, the Wayne Gretzky's, the Derek Jeters, the best that's ever played any sport, and it's insane.
Aaron Rodgers is in that category, Dave, in terms of best all-time NFL quarterbacks. Certainly not in Brady's realm because he does not have the championships to match. What did you think of the sequence of the third and fourth down everybody is talking about? But I think more significantly, how did you interpret his post-game comments when he talked in terms of an uncertain future?
Well, I don't have a song off the top of my head to describe it, but I can tell you what it is. At Green Bay right now, they have some friendly fire going on. And I call friendly fire from a football realm and that's what I heard in that press conference, that the quarterback is not responsible for that play. I didn't call it. And the head coach said, I didn't like the defensive call when they gave up that ridiculous touchdown before the half. You know, that's friendly fire. And right now, internally, there's some serious frustration and some things that need to be worked out with the Green Bay Packers right now. I mean, that's the way I would describe that. And is Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer today, but is he in that conversation of all-time greats? I think he needs to win another Super Bowl and get another MVP to get in that Peyton Manning, Joe Montana conversation. I really do. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played, but you want to get in the all-time great conversation. To me, that's a whole different – that's another step for him.
a couple of statistics with Brady that just jumped out at me, Dave. We know at 43, he's the oldest player ever to be in a Super Bowl. And he's not like the kicker. He is the quarterback. So that's pretty extraordinary. He now has 32 playoff wins. Joe Montana has 16. So if you talk about who's the greatest player ever, he also has more playoff wins since the age of 35 than any other player has in his career. That's just ridiculous. It's just beyond belief when you think about that.
It truly is. It truly is. And you know what's great about Tom? I mean, everything, obviously, as a player. But I remember listening to his press conference after a game once, and I thought he played terrible. He was throwing the ball out of bounds, and I said, geez, he's out of sync. And his press conference, they said, geez, Tom, you didn't have a good of a game. And he said, oh. And he kind of says, you know, I knew that we were going to win it on defense, and the only way we'd lose is if we turned the ball over. So I wasn't going to take any chances. I mean, now how many quarterbacks would be able to put that in your mind in the heat of battle that, you know what, our defense is going to win this game. We've got a 10-point lead. I'm just going to throw the ball away and punt the ball and play defense. I mean, it's, you know, that's extraordinary. Big picture.
And you can't invite a guy like that to beat you. So what was going through your mind, Dave, as you watched at the end of that first half and Mike Pettine was playing man coverage and the Packers kind of let Scotty Miller get behind Kevin King and basically invited Brady to beat him deep? As a defensive guy, you had to cringe watching that happen.
I had flashbacks to that Jets game. Remember the Raider game where they gave up the long touchdown at the end on blitz? This wasn't an all-out blitz, but I'll tell you what, for the game coming up, Todd Bowles deserves some credit. To just to jump topics here, because, you know, Tampa Bay's defense, for our listeners, they were in the top three with the amount of pressures per game. So they're a pressure defense. And when they went into that game, the most disappointing thing was they were rushing four guys and they were sacking Aaron Rodgers. And they played zone coverage with a little bit of man and they mixed in some blitz, but they were not aggressive. And that offensive line, the secondary you just mentioned, David, Green Bay really disappointed me in some individuals. And then the offensive line as a group, I thought didn't play to their level, the Packers. So that's what Aaron Rodgers getting sacked with four guys rushing. That should never happen. Never happen.
David Bakhtiari obviously was out, and he was missed in that game because there was a lot of pressure, as you say, on Rodgers. I wonder, do you see any connection with the pressure that they managed to get with Bakhtiari, the great left tackle, out, as opposed to what's going on now with the Chiefs, who have lost Eric Fisher, their fine left tackle, to a blown Achilles tendon. There's no way he's able to play. He's done for the year, probably for a full year. What if anything can Bowles do after, you know, when you look at that offense, a different animal?
Yeah, and you know what? To me, it's going to be the answer is going to be pretty simple. Tom Brady's going to walk in there and it's going to be the conversation that Tampa had. Why is Gronk in there blocking now and not going out for passes? For protection. So, and that's what shocked me about Green Bay and disappointed me about the Packers, that they did not make an adjustment and put a tight end over there or put a back over there and help that guy and help the tackle out. It never happened. And I kept saying to myself, I don't want to be negative, but that kind of was one of my complaints with the Bears early, right? We're getting sacked and we're sending everybody out. Someone's got to help block. Tampa now all of a sudden leaves their tight ends in the block. You know, that's smart. I don't care if you run three guys out. So I was disappointed in the adjustments by the Packers. And we'll see what Kansas City does. We'll see if they put it on Mahomes to run for his life, or we'll see if they put somebody over to give their tackle who's missing some help.
Dave, got to ask you your thoughts on this head coaching cycle as it goes this offseason already. As a football lifer, as a guy who worked as hard as anybody in the profession, What did you think of the way the Eagles went with Nick Sirianni, a guy who was a surprise choice, not a lot of experience? He's a late 30s. It, just like the Chargers with Brandon Staley. Heck, the Texans interviewed Josh McCown. I mean, everybody loves Josh McCown, but he's got no coaching experience. What's going on with these teams being so willing to give guys without experience an opportunity like this?
So different. And how about Detroit? You know, I mean, Detroit, I mean, I never expected that. I don't know. I mean, I come from, it's got to be that the general managers want to have a comfort zone, you know, with the coach. They don't want a conflict. And these general managers are young. Half of these guys don't have any experience. I mean, when I was back in the league, you know, it was Bobby Bethards and it was the Ron Wolfs. And it was guys that had been around this league for, you know, 10, 15 years, George Young at the Giants. I could go on. And we never got an interview. I could not get an interview until we were a Super Bowl contender at the Cowboys. They wanted coordinators because they wanted guys that they knew had to make decisions that were in pressure situations. I want to see what this guy did, you know, on fourth and one, you know. And so that was the mentality, that you had to prove yourself in the big game. That's completely changed. I think it's because the young general managers they never fired GMs. I mean, the coaches always got canned, but I can remember, you know, the Carl Petersons, the Bethards, all those guys, they always stayed, and the coaches got fired, where now they're firing these GMs. They're hiring young GMs. They want to be able to communicate with the coach. I think that's what we're seeing.
Well, what's funny is you look at the Super Bowl and Bruce Arians is what, 68 years old, and Andy is 63, whatever it is. I mean, I'm just saying, it's, you know, you got Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick and Bruce Arians is the oldest coaches in the league. I think Pete's 69.
Oh yeah, no, it's. The landscape has changed, but I think it comes down to communication. I mean, you know, it's Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. I mean, get guys that you got a comfort zone with, you know, that and then go. I mean, really, it's no different here. I mean, I don't know if anybody, when Matt got the job, you know, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I
Dave,
see
don't
the
start
same.
Talking about collaboration, please.
Oh. Yeah, that word's too big for me. I wouldn't use that very often. I got to come up with a song on that. You know what? You know what, yeah. David? Now that's my task.
That's your homework.
I will have something for you guys with collaboration. I will have something with you guys next week for that. Okay? Dustin's going to have to work on that for me.
David would appreciate it if you make it country, Dave.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. I'll throw some Blake Shelton at you. Absolutely.
All right. There we go.
Credit for knowing one name. All right, Dave. God bless you.
Take care,
you.
Dave.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You very much.
Hey, I was on Willie Nelson's bus. Come on, don't get me going on country. back in those cowboy days at Billy Bob's. We could have a show on that.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Okay.
Don't tell. I shudder to think. All right, Coach. Thank
See you later.
All right, guys. See ya.
Oh, that's so great. Dave is so funny. That's so much fun. Billy Nelson, man. That's outlaw country. I thought you're not an outlaw country guy, are you?
No, not so much.
Waylon Jennings?
No,
come on.
Not so much. I was being more polite there than anything. I'm not a big Willie Nelson guy. Yeah. Blake Shelton. All right. I like Blake Shelton. He's okay. Little too poppy culture, maybe pop country lately, but you know,
it's gotta be rough not, you know, being less talented than your wife, huh?
Just both wives.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, Miranda greater than Blake.
Okay.
Gwen Stefani greater than Blake. Okay, so I'm just saying.
Okay,
good observation there, Mully.
Yeah. Very good.
Scoreboard update.
Mark Grody greater than all.
Yeah, I don't care what George Offman's new podcast is, you know?
He's coming for you.
I know. I see it. I see what he's doing.
You should do the scoreboard update podcast. It would be unbelievable.
Oh, this is something.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the El Pamonte Nissan hotline, El Pamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Doing great. How's everything?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about how far away the Bears are from a Super Bowl, what they could possibly do. I didn't realize they had signed Henry Burris. So Henry Burris now is going to be a full-time quality control coach. I think that puts him closer to a Grey Cup.
Well, that's true. Relegation is not yet a thing in the NFL, but if it were, the Bears wouldn't have to worry about being relegated. The Bears aren't that bad. They aren't that desperate at this point. But, yeah, Henry Burris back in the fold. He started at least a game or two way back when, right, didn't he?
End of the season.
McNown, somewhere around there.
He came in and he
was
talking.
One game, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was the final game of the year in Champaign against Tampa, believe it or not. And I think Tampa went on to win a Super Bowl, so the process of being near Henry.
That was the first game that the Buccaneers ever won when the temperature kickoff was under 40 degrees. That was the game.
Wow.
It was the Henry Burris game.
That's a footnote in time. Mike, going from one great quarterback to another? No, maybe not. Look, Aaron Rodgers, you're a master at interpreting what these guys are trying to say and communicate. So take us through post-game Sunday. Aaron Rodgers, was that just frustration talking? Who was it directed toward, and what was he saying?
Well, it's not frustration when it's Aaron Rodgers, who's a brilliant guy, and there are no accidents. He had to have known last week there's a chance he's going to be meeting with the media following a loss to the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship. And unprompted, he veered into this question of the futures of various players, and he said there's a lot of uncertainties regarding a lot of the guys on the team, myself included. And that's what got the attention of multiple members of the Patriots core of beat writers, or Packers, they know who we mean. The Packers core of beat writers, and they were saying this sounds like a goodbye from Aaron Rodgers, and that got my attention, so I started taking a close look at it. And, you know, it feels ominous, it looks ominous, it sounds ominous. I've watched it multiple times. I understand it to be a reflection of his frustration with the organization right now for a couple of reasons, and I think one of the big reasons traces back to their decision last year to trade up in round one and draft Jordan Love. Rodgers, as I understand it, wants a new contract. He's currently underpaid. He's making $33.5 million a year, average per year new money. That's the same as Jared Goff. Case closed. Aaron Rodgers is underpaid if Jared Goff is making as much as him. But Deshaun Watson's at 39, Patrick Mahomes is at 45, and Rodgers was better than any of them this year in the regular season. But also a new contract and the cap charges that would apply if they traded him or cut him early in the deal, it would give him security over the next two or three seasons. I think what he would like to resolve sooner rather than later is whether or not Jordan Love is a Jimmy Garoppolo to Tom Brady, who's eventually going to be traded somewhere else because the team realizes we want to keep the guy that we have, or is he an Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre, where it's just a matter of time before Jordan Love takes over. And the best way to get clarity on that is to say, I want a new contract, and to look at the structure and to see whether or not it does tie the two sides together for two, 3, or 4 years. I think that's one of the motivating factors for what he did on Sunday. But, you know, he opened the door very generally, very broadly, and he said he's got to take some time to think about things. So, you know, he could come back with anything, and it would fit within that door he opened. But my understanding is one of the things he would like is a contract that necessarily would give him the security that he's going to be with the team for multiple more years.
Mike, Adam Schefter yesterday said he believes only 10 quarterbacks are locked into their starting jobs, and as many as 18 could be moving. Now, I know there's a lot of unhappiness in a lot of different places, but is that an inflated number? Do you expect that kind of a turn? And if it is, I mean, obviously the Bears are one of them.
I mean, look, there's a difference between sinking your teeth into a legitimate storyline that falls into your lap like this Aaron Rodgers thing, and I was stunned that so many in the media turned up their noses at it, at something that would drive legitimate interest and engagement with their audiences for months into the off season, and then people wonder why they get laid off from these media publications when they have no sense of where the interest is. I think Shefty went too far with his list, though. When you put guys like Jared Goff on that list, you ignore the fact that there's nothing the Rams can do at this point by way of dealing with his cap charge. You're not going to trade him. Who's trading for Jared Goff? I mean, really, what team out there is plotting a way to get Jared Goff away from the LA Rams? All due respect to Jared Goff, and I know it's way too late at this point to say that, but who the hell wants Jared Goff right now? So their only alternative would be to cut him, and they'd take like $66 million in cap charges in a year where the cap is expected to be $180 million. So so some of these, I think, are just let's max out the number to drive interest. And I got no problem with driving interest, but I'd rather drive interest in things that I think are more grounded in reality, not things that I think are a little bit beyond the boundaries of what could happen.
Mike, each day that it passes and the Texans are still looking for a head coach, I wonder if they are waiting. And I guess part of me is hoping that they're waiting for Eric Bieniemy, who I think is deserving of that opportunity down in Houston. Is that, number one, the direction you think they're headed? And number two, would it be enough to quell what we think are concerns that Deshaun Watson has expressed?
Well, the biggest challenge when dealing with an organization that, by all appearances, is not behaving in a rational way is to predict how it's going to behave next. And when word got out on Friday that the Texans had interviewed Josh McCown, one-time Bears quarterback, it's easier to list the teams he hasn't played for, actually, to be the head coach with no qualifications, no experience, no time serving as a coach at any level other than high school part-time when he was playing for the Eagles last year and flying back and forth, it's an affront to the process. It's an insult to all qualified coaches out there, regardless of race or background. And that fact in and of itself prevents me from making any reliable prediction on what they're going to do, because they've proven to us that they are going to do the thing that we would look at and objectively say that makes no freaking sense. So Leslie Frazier is going to be interviewed today. And it would make no sense to make Leslie Frazier the head coach after the way the Bills defense performed on Sunday against the Chiefs, which makes it all the more likely the Texans will hire the guy to be their head coach. And David Culley is in the mix. He's a guy who's not many people know, who's been an assistant for a long time at the NFL level, almost 30 years. He's been interviewed too. I just don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the objective is. And Chris Mortensen reported over the weekend, at this point, Watson wants out, regardless of who they hire to be the coach. Now, he's yet to say the magic words, and I'm told that he hasn't done that yet because he knows once he does, it's the point of no return, which implies that he's not yet at the point of no return. So maybe he wants them to figure out the path without him holding the proverbial gun to their head while they do. Maybe that's what he's looking to see. You know, I don't want to have to tell you what to do. I just want to see what you do, and then I'll make my decision accordingly.
Mike, you know, the idea of trading him, of trading Deshaun Watson because of whatever, is kind of insane. The idea is that the NFL is not the NBA, and you're not supposed to have guys force trades. Would this be an exception to that? Would they actually trade him? And at his age and his value, I would imagine it'd be through the roof. But don't teams want to hang on to players and not set this kind of precedent?
Well, it's on teams to make sure that the relationship with the franchise quarterback doesn't get to this point. But yeah. I've got two quick responses. One, Antonio Brown was able to social media his way out of Pittsburgh 2 years ago. And two, last year, with one tweet, Stephon Diggs got out of Minnesota. With one tweet, he got out. So the other point is this. You need your franchise quarterback to be all in. If your franchise quarterback doesn't want to be with your team anymore, that's a problem. Because then you have to wonder, is he going to do all the stuff that we expect the quarterback to do over and above showing up for practice and for games? Is he going to be at the facility early? Is he going to stay late? Is he going to be studying film? Is he going to be working with the coaching staff to help develop and streamline the game plan? Is he going to hold his teammates accountable, or is he just going to shrug and say, I just work here? I mean, that's one of the practical problems. You can do that with running backs, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, every other position on the team. You can wave around the contract and say, play for us or play for no one. and you better shape up, or, you know, we're going to get rid of you, and you're going to, and here's how your career is going to fall apart, blah, blah, blah. When it's a franchise quarterback, I think that changes everything. And I think franchise quarterbacks can behave like NBA players, and I think they're going to start to. And I wouldn't be surprised to learn that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, whatever message he's sending, it's been inspired by the fact that he's seeing Deshaun Watson take control of his situation in Houston.
Thanks a ton, Mike. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Good stuff.
That is Mike Florio. Always fun to talk to him. Interesting, huh?
And in Chicago, they're saying, what's a franchise quarterback? Oh, boy. And, Molly, you know, Henry Burris, I'm sure you remember covering that game, December 29, 2002, 15 to nothing, a loss to the Buccaneers. Do you know how many picks he threw in that game?
More than Tom?
He was 7 for 19, 4 interceptions, 78 yards passing.
Yeah. One more than Tom. Did you know that Tom Brady has now thrown 3 picks in 4 playoff games, and he's 1-3 in those games? Excuse me, 3-1 in those games. He's only lost one where he's thrown 3 picks. And I mean, if you think about it, they got the ball back, and it was 3-and-out. They got the ball back, and it was 3-and-out. The Packers had opportunities but did not take advantage of them, and certainly the way that the Tampa did in that game.
What an overlooked aspect of Sunday, though, Molly, wasn't it?
Yep.
I mean, he threw 3 picks in the second half, and we're talking about his greatness as he was in the first half. But the second half, they didn't hurt the Bucs the way you thought they would. But, yeah, that's a fascinating stat.
All right, we're going to talk to Layla and Dan next. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.